Dispensational ism is not. When you add an ism onto a word, it becomes a religion, it becomes a belief system, it becomes a cult. And he described dispensationalism as ages on how God has dealt differently with mankind. In other words, different gospels for different ages. And like we've said, I've seen that they can't even agree with each other, seven or eight. But there's also, there's the eighth one where they believe that there was a planet before we're on right now. And I actually have not found anybody that doesn't believe this. That there was an earth, then it became formed. In other words, there was people, there was things on it, it became formless and void. And then God recreated it for Adam and Eve and the planet while living. And that's not biblical. So we're going to, first of all, I want to define the word dispensationalism. Second of all, I want to say the key thing he did was he's going to add to your Bible. He's going to add to your Bible. He's going to say, you need these charts, you need these books, and this is what cults do. They add to the Bible. So,
can I add a verse?
Yeah.
Thank you. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments, which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers giveth you, ye shall not add unto the word which I command, neither shall ye diminish off from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord God your God, which I command you.
Very good. So, I mean, and that's a promise for the land, too. And he said, you don't add to it. You don't add to it, and you don't take away from the Bible. They are adding to the Bible. Go ahead, Jim.
For I testify unto you, every man that heareth the words of the prophecies of this book, if any man shall add unto these the things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the city holy, and from the things which are written in this book.
So complete warnings, stern warnings. And this isn't just a neat, I just took the Old Testament verse, New Testament verse, and showed that God warns the believer, the scribe, the scholar, you don't add to it and you don't take away from it. The dispensationalism is adding to the Word of God a doctrine that is not in your Bible. And, you know, this is why this is so important that we study this, and I pray that this will go out to the people that are listening, not because of me or us. This needs to be taught because this is the predominant belief through the churches in America right now, dispensationalism. So we're going to define the word, dispensationalism. You know, I'll say this too. You look at all the other cults, Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventism, they added a book to the Bible. And they said, you need to understand the Bible by these books. That is, there's a warning from God that you are going to get blotted out of the book of life when you do this. This is no different. They have taken this and they said, you can't understand this. You can't. You're too stupid to understand this. You need this book to understand this book. And this to me is why this is so important to understand this, because we can recognize the other cults, Seventh-day Adventists and the Mormons, but yet this, we consider these people our brother. I'm not. They're not. I'm sorry. Dispensationalism is not in my brotherhood.
It's just a better disguise.
Right.
It sounds better. Instead of like the Mormons, they have another gospel of Jesus Christ that they preach and teach from another book. Dispensationalism was so intricately woven into Christianity that it's hard to see the seams.
It's probably better.
That's right. And so now, remember, he's saying that a dispensation is an age.
Right.
an age period on how God has dealt differently with mankind. In other words, a different gospel for a different age. So dispensationalism is a time period. Well, let's see.
But we have to understand one thing. They are right in one thing. You cannot understand this book without the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Amen.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Because if you think that we're saying we're so much smarter than you are, that's not the truth.
But they're not saying you can understand this book without the Holy Spirit. They're saying you need that book to understand this book.
I just want to make that clear. We're not walking around saying we're smarter than the rest of the
world. Oh, yeah. 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 So I looked at this, the word ages, because they say that they take the word of God literally. So ages, there are no, the word ages is mentioned 42 times in your Bible. Nowhere does it say ages of innocence, ages of dispensationalism. Nowhere. Every time it's talking about ages in your Bible, it's talking about people's ages.
Right.
Right? So the word age, no, that's age. That's 42 times. In other words, Wendy was, she looks like she's 40 at the age. Right? So in other words, the word age is mentioned 42 times. I screwed that up. And it's always talking about people's age. It never said there was an age of innocence, right, an age of the antediluvian. Okay, so the word ages is mentioned 4 times. This is interesting because this defines what the dispensation is. We'll start in Colossians 1. So you tell me what a dispensation is when we get through these verses. Colossians 1, 20 to 20. We're just going to take our time with this because I think this is very important. We're going to take our time with it. Whether it takes weeks or months, we're going to take our time with it. Colossians 1, 20, and we're going to read to 28. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Here's the key word. And ye, which ye have heard, and which was preached unto every creature which under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind above the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill every word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ and the hope of glory, to whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. So, what was dispensed to Paul? The gospel of grace. God dispensed it to him, and Paul dispensed it to people. So here's one definition for a dispensation. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9. 9:14. Right? Yeah. 9:14. Even though, listen to the common word. The gospel is being preached. What is the gospel? It's grace. Right? 9:14. Even so hath the Lord obtained that they which preach the gospel should live the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for a necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe unto me, if I preach not the gospel. For I do this, for if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, and I abuse not my power in the gospel. 21, look at 21. And to them that are without the law, as without the law being, not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might obtain, that I may gain them that are without the law. That I might gain them without the law. So the gospel of grace was dispensed to Paul, and Paul says, it's not a job. I have to dispense the gospel to people, that I may bring people to Christ.
So dispensation is more like a bow gun machine.
Hang on. Hang on. Don't go there.
Okay, don't go there.
Yeah. Through Ephesians 3. I got a problem.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Ephesians 3. Look at 3, 1 through 9. This is foolish. This really. For this cause, 3:1, for this cause I, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of grace, what's being dispensed?
Grace.
Of God, which is given me to you. Word. The dispensation of grace was dispensed to Paul to give to Kevin.
Right?
How that by revelation made known unto me the mystery, which I wrote a few words. What mystery? It was a mystery in the Old Testament. It didn't mean it didn't exist.
Right.
They weren't saved by it was paid for by Christ when he came, that all those in the Old Testament that believed in God, that was now paid for by Christ. But they say, oh no, grace started at the cross.
And again,
even the word he used there, where was it here? In 3:2. If you have heard of the dispensation, not the dispensation of grace, it doesn't say the dispensation. It says the dispensation of the grace of God.
Right. Yeah.
Singular.
Right?
Singular.
This is the grace of God. It's not the dispensation of grace.
Right.
He's always had grace. He's
that's
God.
Right. And that's what he's dispensed. That's what he has dispensed. Okay? Well, whereby you read that, and you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. There it is. And is now revealed unto those holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. You see two separate people here? Do you see a difference between Jew and Gentile, Jim?
No.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ Jesus by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And unto me who am less than the least of all the saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which was from the beginning of the world, hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Right.
From the beginning of the world, Curtis, grace has always been from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Always. The even when God created, it's God's grace that he created. One more. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, now let's look at 9 and 10. Now look at 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable and the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he had abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both who, which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. So this is going to come to a conclusion. The dispensing of grace is going to come to a conclusion when? When he appears in the clouds, and now he is going to gather his sheep, and he's going to separate the tares. Okay? So, Deanna.
Oh, you can hold on.
What's this?
Oh, it's a pest dispenser.
What do we call this?
Dispenser.
Right? A pest dispenser. Let's say Superman here is Paul. Okay? Deanna, will you take some dispensing gospel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You accept it?
There you go.
See how simple, you see how this works. This is a dispensing.
Yes.
This is a dispensation. Mm-hmm. The gospel from the beginning of the world until the last, until Christ appears, and then it all comes to fulfillment, to a conclusion. This is man.
Yes.
This is man.
Yes.
And I say it again, what I started realizing is these guys, they know the Bible well.
Mm-hmm.
They know the Bible. So either they are mistaken because they're ignorant, which they're not, or they're doing this on purpose. And what has happened is they have infiltrated Bible-believing churches, fundamentalist Christianity, and they have corrupted the Word of God.
You have to remember, the Superman dispenser you gave to her won't get her to heaven. Only takes her dispensation.
That's right. It sweets and detains. And it's attractive to the ears and all that kind of stuff.
It's refill.
Oh, you've got refills. Wow. Dude.
Yeah. Now, any other gospel you just
Right. We could just end this thing right now.
Yeah.
But I just think we could just go keep going through and explore.
So, honor us for what purpose?
To lead sheep astray.
Yeah.
Because the devil is a roaring lion.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
And remember,
he knows the Bible better than most of us do.
That's right.
Preacher, people who believe doctrinally the preacher of rapture, right? I mean, and some of these guys are like, they know the Bible.
Yeah, they do.
They know the Bible, and you go, and I honestly think a lot of them, they know their Bible, but they know it within the framework that's been presented to them, spoon fed from them from the beginning.
Right.
So I would say some of the people, I mean, I'm not saying there are some malicious people, but I think a lot of people, they believe that because that's what they were, they've fallen into this,
right,
this rigid
right
thought.
Well, here's
and they can't come out of it.
A real life thing, okay? Y'all know what Vegemite is? It is a really nasty tasting thing that they feed their kids in Australia, right? Vegemite sandwiches. And so it's really bitter and drying to the mouth.
Okay.
But to get the kids used to it, when they're babies, their mothers put it on the tips of their pacifiers and the nipples, right? And because I don't know why they want them to eat this, but they adapt a taste for it way back there. Dispensation is like unto that. Mm-hmm. They're baby fed. Right? And then they just get used to the taste of it. And then when you're grown, you try a Vegemite sandwich and you love it or you hate it.
Well, and you know, there is a scripture. I agree. I agree with what Kevin's saying. You get scripture
I see it here.
That, I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought. But the idea of listening to the voice of the men rather than God. He endures seeing him who is in
the
God. They love him even though you have loved him. Last time though, was it that I can't remember the scripture that they've not seen.
Right.
It is easier to follow men. And I agree that when you are raised in a certain way of thinking,
yes,
very hard
really,
to get out of
it. Really
when I was a Pentecostal, by his stripes you are healed. It was obvious that we were all meant to be healed from any infirmity we had. That's not by his stripes you're healed. And one day I saw it outside of the way I was taught it.
Right.
And so the one challenge I would say is we are challenged to not listen to the voices of men.
Where
we should be listening to the voice of God.
Yes.
And that's where they're at fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're at fault because we're not supposed to be respected as persons.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to study and show ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
And so we I think I was at a point where I respected the person for what they knew and thought, how can I understand it?
Right.
And that was how it was back.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. I was going to say something else. I think the way Stalin said about that was the big piece. I think something that's up there is failed.
You know, so I'll say this. I think I'm going to disagree with it is easier to listen to man. It's easier to listen to this.
Right.
If you're led by the Spirit, our problem is you that we listen to
by the Spirit.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'll say it. We believed it.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Absolutely.
I know at least three of us were sold on this. Maybe Jeff.
But
what changed you?
Right.
This changed me. Yes. This. And when I started studying this way, God, and I'm saying, I don't see this.
Right.
Amen. I see grace.
Right. Amen.
And then when they start changing, listen to what he's saying. Remember, because what he's saying is a literal interpretation of Scripture. And the very word dispensation is the wrong interpretation of Scripture.
Right,
right from the get-go,
so if
you're in error.
Out with the wrong direction
that's
at
right.
the beginning. No matter where you go from there, you're going to be wrong.
That's right.
I mean, I would say if I was on an island and somebody gave me a King James Bible,
right,
and they said I believe this was the Word of God, and I started to read the Bible. I would not believe in dispensationalism
right.
or preacher.
That's right.
If I took this, well, what happens is I came in and I went to a dispensational church
right.
and I was spoon-fed that and I thought this is just the way it is.
That's right.
And my thought fell right in line with
it. Yeah. Right. So I'm going to break down. I listed seven of these things that he listed about what dispensationalism is. We just covered the definitions.
Right.
He's already there. Right? That's not him.
No,
that's what he was taught. So the second one, literal interpretation of Scripture, you don't have to turn there, 2 Timothy, we all know it. We all know it. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Yeah, I guess it doesn't help if you're in 2 Thessalonians.
No, it starts with the same way.
I could read it, but it won't make sense.
Welcome
to Look at 15. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise, that's a Holy Spirit word, unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, all of it,
mm-hmm.
all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Scripture is what we get doctrine from, and we also get reproof. We're going to reproof that. We're going to correct that because they're lying. These both can't be right.
Amen.
You know, this was very easy for me. I came out of Eastern Orthodox, which is kind of Catholicism, and I didn't know anything. I didn't know. I just got saved. I just read my Bible, you know, and I was. I didn't know Scripture, but I was reading. And I'm going there, and I'm going, either this is wrong, or that guy up there is wrong.
Yeah.
And God showed me that. And the fourth time I pulled into the parking lot, I said, Lord, what am I doing here? I said, I'm showing you it's dead. This is dead. This is death.
Right.
This is life.
Right.
Okay. So he says literal interpretation of Scripture. Yeah, they come up with eight. I see eight.
Yeah.
I don't see seven.
Mm-hmm.
They come up with eight dispensations on how God has dealt a different gospel for each dispensation.
Yeah.
And then they come up with seven church ages.
Yeah.
Well, we're in Revelation 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Those are church ages. Those are people. And
right.
those are churches. Doesn't say anything. Look at the numbers. I'm so glad you put these up here. You know, you read Matthew, and everything is organized from Adam to Noah's 14 generations, from Noah to Exodus 14, something like that.
Yeah.
But they make sense. They're even. 312 A.D., 312 to 590 A.D., 590 to 1570. This is man. God's numerology is perfect. 7 times 70, 490. The guy's numbers are perfect. These people make these up. And like Curtis said, look at this foolishness.
No, who decided? Who decided? When did innocence end? We're going to get it. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's just
so hard not to when there's
It really is hard not to jump ahead because of the stupidity of this. And like I said, to me, this is not just ignorance.
Right.
This is being done on purpose.
Yeah.
And it is to fleece the flock.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what this is all about. That we are told by the Bible that the devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy. That's what this is. This has so many tentacles out of it of false doctrine. You know, the word doctrine is singular.
Right.
These are doctrines. Mm-hmm. Once saved, always saved, pre-trib, two second comings. These are doctrines of men. And the Bible even says it, doctrines of men, but yet there is one doctrine of God, grace.
And Paul is warning of this. Paul,
yes,
even now.
That's right.
Even now,
there are
people trying to get into the church.
Right? That's right.
John, he said many antichrists have come out from us, right?
That's right. So number three, he says there's a separation between the church and Israel.
Yeah.
Okay. He goes on to say that Israel during the millennial reign, and he didn't really cover it, and I've said this before.
But
when
they believe their teaching,
yeah.
He was just giving you a 5-minute thing
of
a teaching. The teaching of the dispensationalism is that during the millennial reign, the Hebrew people will go back under the law and will be made righteous through the sacrifice, through the sacrificing of animals.
Yeah. That's why, that's perfect. He just put that perfectly. What they believe, Alan, is there are two kingdoms.
Yeah.
Kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Now, I can't remember what it is. But the kingdom of, I'll say heaven, that's for us.
Yeah.
We're going to be up in heaven and playing harps, you know.
Living the high life.
Yeah, we're going to be up here, and the kingdom of God will be on the earth where God is going to restore Israel, the kingdom, and all the nations in their flesh are going to serve Israel. See, this is where this idea comes from, that people survive it. And that they will sacrifice during the millennial for sins.
Yeah.
That's what they believe. This is dispensational. This is where this idea comes from,
that
there's going to be a sacrificial temple during that time, and that all the nations are going to come to Israel.
Then we'd have to put Christ back on the cross a second time.
There you go. Because he talks about not just two return, not just the coming of Christ in his birth and the coming of Christ at the resurrection. They have a second coming. The first one secretly, that nobody knows. All right? And then the second coming, every eye sees.
That's right.
So they teach, instead of one resurrection, two resurrections. Instead of one returning, two returning.
So I'll show you the verse that they use to get them to this point, that there's two people, there's two kingdoms, there's two gods, there's one in heaven, one on the earth.
Doesn't the Bible say that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile?
Exactly.
That we are one people under the creation of God?
1 Corinthians 10. Oh yeah, here it is. Here's what now that you tell me. They'll say, well, there's three groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know, even before I got here, there's what's being taught in this church is there's two groups of people. Believer,
unbeliever.
That's right. Saved, unsaved. Cursed, blessed. Two groups. Here's what dispensationalism says. There's not only separates the church from Israel, but there's also a third group in here. I'll read it to you. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. So what he's doing? He's telling you, do everything you do, do for the glory of God. And give no offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they get it from. That there's three groups of people.
Right.
Let me ask you something. Let's just take these groups of people. Is there believing and unbelieving Jews? Let's put it this way. Is there saved and unsaved Jews?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there saved and unsaved church people?
Yes.
Yes. Is there saved and unsaved Gentiles?
Yes.
Yes. Two groups of people, but yet they say, see, this is how you divide your Bible. And they'll tell you this, Alan. But I'll say this. Who's the Bible for? Is the Bible for a bunch of unbelieving Jews over there that aren't going to read Revelation?
Okay.
Is the Bible for my brother who won't start reading scripture, who's a Gentile? The Bible is for the believer.
Exactly.
That's Jesuits for. And they'll say, what they'll say, Diane, is they'll say, well, no, the Bible in some instances is talking to the Gentiles, in some instances it's talking to the church, and in some instances it's talking to the Jews. No, it's not. It's talking to the believer.
Right.
Who's got a buck?
Nobody?
A buck?
Yeah. It's $1. Here's what they'll say.
You're fleecing them out.
Here's what they'll say. Here's what they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you, well, yeah, because we read it all scripture, and it says, study to show myself approved. So they'll say, well, yeah, all scripture is for us. It's, in other words, it's to you, but it's not for you.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that. It's
Deanna?
For free. Yeah.
Oh. Deanna, this dollar is from them. It's to you, but it's not for you. Okay, so you can have it. You're going to take it. There, it's yours. You can't spend it. It's not for you. It's to you, but it's not for you. This is what they teach.
Yeah.
This is foolish. Either it's, yes, I didn't offer animals. I don't have to do that.
Right.
But I can understand it. Yeah. I can understand that in those offerings is Jesus Christ. So it is for me. The Old Testament is for me.
You can spend it.
The Levitical laws, they are for me, for understanding, for we read it, for profitable, for fruit, for doctrine. It is for me to understand, so it is to me, and it is for me. See what I mean? They'll go, well, you Curtis, you don't sacrifice animals.
Yeah.
No.
You don't say the name of Jesus right.
That's right. Neither did they, by the way. Neither did they. I had a Jewish friend of mine said, Tom, I understand what you're saying, but there seems to be something wrong in Israel where this the belief of God doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
He says, we find all these idols.
Yeah.
I know, of course you do.
Yeah.
Because he didn't follow the law.
Yeah.
You didn't keep it. You didn't live according. That's why God threw you out of the land, because you wouldn't do his commandments.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're going to say there's a separation, right? I just showed you the verse right there. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved. We all know that one. So so they're going to say there's a separation between the Jew and the Gentile. Acts 7, we've done this before, but Acts 7. Paul, if you get there, read it. 37 and 38.
37?
Yeah.
This is it, Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us.
What did he just call those people in the Old Testament that were with Moses?
The church.
The church. Ecclesia is the Greek word, ecclesia. Ecclesia means congregation. It means assembly of people. That's an Old Testament word. That's a New Testament word. He called them, and they say, oh, no, the church started at Pentecost, Alan. There was no church before. He just called them the congregation in the wilderness, the assembly, the ecclesia of the church.
That so he said, was not taking your Bible literally.
That's right.
Church isn't a New Testament ideal.
That's right.
The church has always been. There was a church of one when Abraham came out of the Ur of Chaldees. He was the church.
That's right. That's right. When Abraham left, he took his congregation with him.
Amen.
Two people's a congregation. It's an assembly.
Yeah.
It's a church of God. And when you read the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, when he's talking to the churches, he's talking to you. You're that church.
Even neater than that, when Abraham gave a sacrifice to Melchizedek, it says that the priest in the Levitical priest line also tied unto Melchizedek through Abraham.
That's right.
So the church was in
Abraham. While Levi was still in Abraham's loins.
Abraham.
When they were born,
That's
right. And this idea that,
crazy.
The sacrifice of blood for sin started in the garden.
Amen.
They were Job wasn't a Jew. He was sacrificing for his children. They were well aware of the idea that the shedding of blood pays for the price of sin, but not of bulls and goats. They knew that. They knew that there was a better redeemer.
Baptism is a church ordinance, right? Right.
Right.
So I quote 1 Corinthians 10, chapter verses 1 and 2, says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not, and you should be ignorant how they are, all our brothers who run to the cloud and all pass through the sea.
Excellent.
And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea."
That's right. What baptism was that?
That's the baptism of, the cloud.
It's not a baptism of cleansing your flesh.
No.
Of getting water on you.
It passed right under the cloud.
That's right. There's the baptism is talking about that you must be baptized. Now, I do. I've been baptized as an adult and showing my living for Christ, dying the old man. I do that outward. That didn't save me. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit saves me. So, once again, you look at Acts 15, when the Gentiles are now being invited. What are they being invited into? Nothing? Is this the beginning of something in Acts 15? They're being invited into the family of God. The seed of Abraham, and thy seed shall all nations be blessed. The seed of believers. So, Acts 15... 7 through 11 says, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said, Men and brethren, ye know that a good while ago God had made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth all the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did us." There's the baptism of the Kevin Scott, the Holy Ghost. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God and put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Now, wait, see what he's saying, Jim? Mm-hmm. Hey, we could keep the law. We could do it. Who are we to put this on the Gentiles who have now been invited into the kingdom? And we've been looking at this on Tuesday nights, the gospel of grace, and where the Galatians are being drawn away by the gospel they were saved by. Mm-hmm. They're being pulled away back under the law. And nobody can get saved by keeping the law. Nobody.
Because nobody can keep it. Well, even if you can't keep the law, if you could keep the law, salvation was never in the law to be kept.
That's right.
And so even if you were able to keep the law, it still wouldn't save you. Salvation wasn't in the law. The law wasn't for salvation. The law was a schoolmaster to drive you to salvation.
That's right. See, that's why, Diane, when they say, "Well, you don't sacrifice animals. That's for the Old Testament." No, that is for me, because I realize they didn't do it, and I can't do it. So that is for me to understand that the law drives you to Christ.
Right.
The Old Testament laws, they drive me to Christ too. It's not just for the Jews. They didn't keep them. They never kept them. So look at verse 11. "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." He's not only talking about Jewish people, Alan. He's talking about Old Testament Jewish people. Mm-hmm. That they're saved by grace. I'll say this too. I don't know if the guy on the video believes it. If he does, I give him credit. But he's being disingenuous, because what they believe in grace in the Old Testament.
Sure they do.
But they also believe you had to keep the law. Mm-hmm. They got it reversed. We always say, well, your works should follow your faith, mm-hmm. right? It is evidence of what you believe. That's not what they believe this message was. They believe they had to work so God's grace was on them. They had to keep the law.
The difference between have to and get to.
That's right. Now, after this, there probably were people that, by faith, attempted to keep the law.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Paul.
Absolutely.
Paul.
So, Galatians 3. Galatians 3, 6. Even Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham was well aware of sacrificing.
Yeah.
He believed.
And it was accounted for him.
Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Abraham had the gospel preached to him, mm-hmm. right? And we saw it. Take your son up there and offer him, right? He had the gospel preached to him. Abraham saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Was Abraham saved by keeping law? Was saved by faith, right?
He was saved 1,000 years before the law came.
Curtis, is this a different gospel than was preached to Abraham? Because Galatians, we're following through Galatians. God clearly says, you preach another gospel, you're cursed. That's what they're doing. They're preaching not only another gospel, but many other gospels.
But there's a little word in there. Okay? It's not a gospel, Abraham.
Amen.
It's
the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's only one.
My brother once mentioned that he had to give a testimony, give a speech. And I said, look up the little words.
Yeah.
And
more people are deceived by the little words.
Yeah.
If you abide in
Christ.
Right.
Yeah. See, same with them. If you love God, you keep His commandments. Same thing, right? Christ tells us the same thing. If you abide in me, you'll keep my commandments.
Word
and that verse is, you've got preached and you've got gospel unto Abraham.
Yeah.
But was it the gospel?
Right. The gospel of consciousness was preached to Abraham.
Yeah. Or the gospel of human government.
Human government. Right?
Find the gospel of human government in your Bible.
Yeah.
You can find it in the dispensation. They put it out there pretty plain.
Verse 11.
Hold on. So when he says a little word, the verse that you're reminding me of is take up the boxes, the little boxes, the spoiled vine, for our lives have to be raised.
Yeah.
There's the little boxes that destroy the vine.
Yeah.
They come and they nip around the edge of the bark of the vine and they kill the whole vine.
Yeah.
Yep. Right? Anybody's ever grown any kind of fruit trees and stuff, you got to watch out for the small mice in the wintertime because they'll burrow under the snow and they'll eat the bark around your tree and kill it.
Kill the mice.
Amen. That's what I say. Kill the mice. Actually, they make nice little poppers.
If you deep fry them.
All
right, so verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law.
Amen.
But that no man, mm-hmm. Old Testament, New Testament, old man, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, the just shall live by faith. That's an Old Testament verse, Habakkuk 2:4. It says the same thing. Old Testament. The just shall live by faith. Not the just shall live by the law.
Right.
I think I got a couple more. 24-29. Where is the law? There you go. That's what Curtis was saying. Where is the law? It was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. He's talking to Gentiles.
Yeah.
So the law is for me. Right? They're saying, oh no, it's not for you. Yes, it is. It drives me. When I read the Old Testament, I'm going, nobody can keep that. I can't even keep the Ten, let alone the 400 or 600 or whatever it is. Right? So how does man get justified in the Old Testament? By the blood of Christ.
Amen.
By grace. Mm-hmm. I believe it. Right? But after faith comes, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. So we're all under the law, right? This is what this is telling me. We are all under the law until we come to Christ.
Faith.
Right?
Right.
For ye are all children of God. All. For ye are all children of God. Jew and Gentile. Faith in Christ Jesus. For many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. For ye are all in one in Christ. This is blasphemy. This is now.
Amen.
And if ye be in Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. And they have a promise here. They have the dispensation of the promise. The promise is given in the Garden of Eden, not in 2000
BC.
BC.
Before Moses, there's what they're talking about is the promise that God made to Abraham for the land.
Yeah.
That he would be a multi-person. You know.
But what promise are we talking about? Everlasting life through Jesus Christ. And that was given in the Garden. I will separate your seed from her seed.
Right.
They're lying, and they know they're lying.
The crazy thing is, look at they have these thousands of years of separation in this dispensation, the thousand years between Abraham and Noah and Adam and Noah and Abraham and Moses, then another thousand years to Christ. Their math doesn't add up to the years that are spoken of in the Word of God.
Yeah.
They rounded all. These are 7 days. They take the 7 days of creation, divide it by 1,000 years of peace, and say that these covenants are all different. These dispensations of grace are all different, and they're separated by 1,000 years.
Okay.
Noah's from Abraham, Adam to Noah, there had to be the opportunity for Adam to come and to fail. And since he failed, then God brought Noah.
Right.
And then after Noah, they had to come, learn, and fail. And after they failed, they had to come to and over and over and over. And so it's a dispensation of failure of man instead of the grace of God.
And I mean, does one end and another one continue? They seem to blend all in creation.
Right?
Okay. The dispensation of consciousness, I don't know. God creates Adam, breathes into him. He's now conscious.
He hides because he's
conscious knowledge, with knowledge and consciousness, to name the animals.
Right.
That's before the fall. Seems to me that I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so Galatians 6. These are the verses I love. This is the Israel God. There's not going to be a kingdom of Israel that is going to rule over all the nations on the world. There is only one Israel, right? God 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus there is neither circumcision, Jew, male ending, nor uncircumcision, Gentile. But a new creature, and as many walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. You know, when the disciples, when he appeared in front of the apostles at Pentecost, they said to him, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, you're not getting the kingdom.
Right.
The next kingdom that comes is my kingdom,
right.
The kingdom of God. Okay, Ephesians. I always feel like skipping through these, but I just think it's so important because this is one of their fundamentalist teachings.
Right.
There's a separation between the church and Israel.
And you believe them the same. We did become Israel, or Israel became the church.
We've been grabbed in. We didn't replace.
Well, now there is no difference.
That's right.
That's right.
And he's not done with it. See, what they'll accuse us, Wendy, if there's people listening out there, they're going to accuse us of replacement theology. We're not saying God is done with the Jew.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying that we have been grafted into the vine with the Jew to Jesus Christ, and he's going to rescue a third of them in the last days. So clearly there is one people. They don't know what tribe they're from. Go over there to Israel. I got a friend of mine, Mark. He fights down. He practices Judaism. He's devout, right? He couldn't tell you what tribe he's from. They don't know what tribe he's from because when we read this in Ezekiel 37, he says, I'm going to take the one stick of Judah and one stick of Israel, and they're going to become one. They're not going to be they're not going to be called by their tribes in the last day. They're going to be called by the ethnicity of the Jewish group. People.
So if you go before the tribes were formed, right, there was only Isaac. Right? Yes.
Jacob has the 12. Mm-hmm. And we're going to look at it when we look at the 144,000.
Yeah.
Because these 144,000 are not on the earth. They've already been, knew what tribe they were from. Right. And when you look at the 12 tribes, when Jacob is about to die and he has Joseph before him, he says, give me your two sons. So now you not only have 12, you have 14. Because he says to the two sons, you are like you were born of me, Ephraim and Manasseh. And I'm preparing you for this study because I'm telling you right now, Joseph is a type of Christ. He takes a Gentile bride and he has two children. One represents the Jews, one represents the Gentiles. He crosses the hands over and he says, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. There are more of Ephraim than there is of Manasseh. Let me ask you a question. Has there been more Gentiles saved or more Jews saved? Gentiles. There, the gospel has gone out to the Gentile world and we've been taking it in. Oh yeah, that's for us. We want it. And there has been more Gentiles saved. We're going to look at this when we look at God recording.
Roll back one more birth, all right? Jacob and Esau. Okay? Two types of people. The righteous and the unrighteous. Those whom God has loved and those whom God has hated before they were ever, or as they were in the womb. God divided two nations before they were ever born.
That's right.
Those, and that's the only two nations that have ever existed on the planet, is those who are in Christ and those who are not. And if you're not, the Bible says, I hated them.
That's right.
And then those who are, and I love them.
That's right.
How do you know if you are? Stay in the line.
And I'll say this, the interesting study that I saw about Ephraim and Manasseh, it's not only that there's Jew and Gentile, they are ones who claim to be in the seed.
Yes.
So are all Gentiles saved? Yeah, they're saved or saved? No. Absolutely not. So that's what you see through that teaching.
How did Paul put that? Are all of Israel actually of Israel?
Yeah. In Romans.
In Romans, yeah. Are all who say that they're of Israel, are they actually of Israel? Just because you were born into a Hebrew family doesn't mean you're part of the people that God has chosen.
That's right.
Right?
You think it's a coincidence that when they rejected Christ and they destroyed the temple, all the records are gone of what tribe they're from? They all got wiped away. They're gone. Now they've been intermingled with the Gentiles, and they don't know what tribe they're from. Why? Because it stopped at the first coming of Christ, and the next time he rescues them, he's not going to rescue them as tribes. He's going to rescue them as an ethnicity.
As a people.
That's right.
As a church.
Ezekiel 37 makes it clear.
Is it Jacob and Esau that God says that Jacob he loved and Esau he hated?
I hate it.
Yeah.
And now I just understand that verse.
Yeah.
Okay. You said a type of saved and unsaved.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Two nations are in your womb.
Right. I mean, they're both from the same mommy and daddy.
Well, I got two nations in their womb, but I didn't get the fact that it was those who believed and those who didn't.
That's right.
I'm still looking at the Jew and the Gentile.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Right.
These two were both Jews.
That's right. That's right.
But that's the deception. Today's church says it's the Jew and the Gentile.
That's right.
And it's the saved and the unsaved.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's great.
That's where the difference is.
Praise God. Like I said, I just got this. I've read this all my life. And I'm always wondering, why did he hate that one?
And
did you tell me God already told you how he hated you before?
It's the same promise was for Esau, right? Jacob and Eve. The same promise was for both of them. They were from the both mommy and daddy, same, right? Israel. The same promise was given to them. One is rejected, one is accepted. Yeah, that's good. Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, which are called uncircumcision, by them which are called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. And in times, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Aliens, Gentiles, aliens. And strangers from the covenants and the promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace who have made both Jew and Gentile, broken down the middle of the wall, partitioned between us, Jew and Gentile, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained ordinances, for to make of himself twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have one access by one Spirit unto the Father. And now you are no more strangers and foreigners, but
fellow
citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation and the apostles and the prophets, Old Testament writers, New Testament writers. Jesus Christ himself being not the capstone,
amen,
but the cornerstone, in the womb of all building is fitly, we are the building, we are the temple, that is fitly built together, growing into a holy temple. That's the temple.
It'll come down.
That's the temple that's coming down.
Amen.
There's not going to be a brick and mortar temple during the millennium, in whom we are now building together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. But you can continue. For this cause I call prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles that ye have heard of the dispensation of grace. We've been through that, right? Clearly, a dispensation of grace is offered to the Gentiles. They are invited into the vine, which is Jesus Christ, the olive tree, which right now, some of them, when you read Romans 4, it says some of them have been broken off. So clearly, it's not done with them as an ethnicity.
And
okay.
Not to take too highly over some.
That's right.
God took them out, don't think that, and put you in their place, and doesn't mean that he can't take you out too.
I'm going to read verse Alan, Isaiah 11, 10 and 12, or 10 through 12. But I'm going to read you a verse here. Let's go to, we're in Ephesians 4 still. Look at 3 through 7. See, this is what they do, Wendy. This is what they do. They said, oh no, there's two gods. There's two of everything. There's two kingdoms, one in heaven, one on the earth. There's two God, the God of heaven, and the one on the earth. There's two of everything. Okay, Ephesians 4, 3 through 7, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is.
Oh, one body.
There is
one Spirit.
Even as you are called in
one hope
of your calling. What?
One Lord.
Huh?
One faith.
Huh?
One baptism.
Six.
One God and the Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. That's how you know you're Southern.
But unto you, every one of us is given the grace, there it is again, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. One people, one God, they want to separate God the Father from God the Son. They want to separate the kingdom of heaven from the kingdom of God. Okay, alright, so we're going to wrap
the verse.
We got 11, I want you all to read this Old Testament, 11, 10 through 12. So remember, this is Old Testament writing.
In that day there shall be the root of Jesse, which shall stand for ensign of the people, ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass that in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Patros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea.
So there you go. You have Jews and Gentiles being together. What do you think that day is talking about? What day do you think he's talking about?
I would say the day of the Lord.
Right? When he comes. And then we've already established that. It took us 3 months to establish the day of the Lord. But we can see it is a day of the Lord. And he's saying, I'm going to gather believing Jews and believing Gentiles into my kingdom.
Right.
Old Testament. All right. Anything? Any comments?
just that my people. The problem with dispensationalism is they divide my people into two people groups, the church and the Jews. No, my people is one person.
That's right. And the word grafting brings it together, not separating.
They're separating. Alan just said it perfectly. What dispensationalism, I don't know if you get the idea now what dispensationalism really is. It is taking this holy book that is for you, from Genesis to Leviticus, Psalms to the book of Revelation, it's for you. It's to you, and it's for you. It's not, they're going to take it, the dispensation, and say, they're going to start chopping it up. This is for you, this is for the Jews, this is for the Gentiles, this is for the church. No, it's all for you, and it's all to you. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the grace that has been dispensed upon mankind. Thank you that there is only one dispensation that is paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter what testament, what person, what age it's in. Grace only comes through Jesus Christ. There are no other dispensations, Lord. It is clear, just to our little group here. And I pray that this teaching, not because of me, not because of Curtis, not because of this church, that this goes out into the ears of pastors and churches to hear that dispensationalism is a cult and it is not a biblical doctrine that comes from you. I pray, Lord, that you would open their hearts, their minds, and their eyes and just believe the scriptures. Thank you for just meeting us here in this little corner of the world, Lord, but this is you. This is you who just looks for faithful people who believe the word of God, and you will minister to them. Lord, I pray that this would go through the churches in America, through the world, that they would understand that there is one gospel of grace given to you unto sinful man, who we have no right to, but because you are our Lord, who is long-suffering, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy, you have had grace upon us. And I pray, Lord, that you would put your words through Curtis today, that the Holy Spirit would keep feeding this flock, Lord, that we may draw nearer and nearer to you, that you may enlarge our hearts by the word of God, that we may draw into a closer relationship with you than when we first came in here this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Not bad.
Let me tell you a little quick story about the scene.
Sometimes, but